figure all that stuff out for yourself.
Yeah.
Just like something crocheted, you gotta figure out from the crochet piece how many stitches goes here and how many stitches goes there. And the, you can see how uniform all the spaces are
mm-hmm.
in here, just mm-hmm. by each one of these here.
I've that got all that wrote the, down. The size and mm-hmm. everything and the spacing. That's real nice.
Sometimes, if you keep going out enough with it, then you have to add in.
Increase up there when you get uh-huh.
Have to put more spaces in here. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello there.
Hi there.
But there, as I say, there's so many things you can do with them and so many things you can make out of them. You just have to use your own imagination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you stick with it long enough, you can use your own imagination and you can make anything you want out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've made great big huge sewing baskets, almost the size of that footstool there.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes and puts the half moon in there with the little spools
yeah.
in it for me.
Yeah.
He cuts my bottoms out and drills the holes in them. And that's about all there is to it, I guess.
Yeah. What's the most complicated thing you ever made? That sewing basket sounds
that
weird.
Urn.
The urn, I guess,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Trying to get... The most difficult thing to it is trying to get the shape you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to rip it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then start from where it don't go in the shape you want it to.
Is it easy to rip out the pine needles and start over?
It's easy to rip them out, but it's not easy to stop where you want it to.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets to the point sometimes that you think, well, you can sit here and work on it and you can look at the thing and then you look at what you're working on and you think, no. And you think, well, maybe the next round, you know, will cover that up. And sometimes it will, sometimes it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going out, you got to remember to have your rings on the outside, and when you're decreasing, you got to put them on the inside, your rounds.
I see.
But other than that, to me, that's the most difficult, trying to get the shape I want.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Once you learn, everybody says holding the pine needles together and sewing them, trying to sew them is hard, but if you can sew any at all, you know, with your fingers, that shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Is it hard on your hands working with the pine needles? Are they prickly?
When
or
you yes, they are. They'll stick in you,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you'll stick your thumbs, I don't know how many times, if you don't have a short needle.
Because
mm-hmm. you're holding it just like this, and when you put the needle through, it always gets you right there.
Uh-huh.
If you got a long needle and a sharp needle. That's why I use a short needle and a blunt needle.
Because mm-hmm.
all you got to do is pick up the raffia. You don't have to poke it in.
I see.
In the middle.
Is this raffia that you've got lying here on the sofa?
Mm-hmm. That's my raffia.
How do you get that down to a workable size?
You have to split it. Depending on... take little hanks of it with me in the car. See? You take it out. And
so that's just the way you get it.
This is the way you get it, uh-huh. And you just run it through your fingers a few times and it softens it up. And then you pick the widest spot in the raffia. You don't always get a straight cut, but you pick the widest spot in the raffia. And you take your needle. And if it's wide enough for three, you go where there's three. And this is wide enough for three. You can see the cuts in it right now.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So you just cut it off like that and pull it out. And do this next one the same way.
Does it ever pull the wrong way and
oh, yes.
mess you up?
It does lots of times, but you can mostly use it.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see.
And then if you're going to sew with it, you roll it. And that makes it real strong. You just about can't break it.
Uh-huh. Well, you twist it between your fingers like
mm-hmm.
you knot a piece of thread?
Yeah, you roll it. in rolls like that.
I see.
And you go right on down and see the pieces that pull off.
Uh-huh.
You just have to keep working to pull them off. Sometimes it's the way they do the raffia whenever they're bundling it up, I think.
Where's the raffia come from?
Madagascar.
Huh. Was that from a palm tree, do you know? Or I wonder what that's from.
I think it's a long grass that grows, is what I've been told anyway. Now that's real strong.
Oh,
and you sew with that. And if you're going to wrap,
you can hardly break that.
That's amazing.
If you're going to wrap, you just leave it plain like this, and you don't. If I'm going to wrap, I wouldn't have it this thin either.
Uh-huh.
I'd just cut it in two pieces, or either if it come out in a piece where it's not real, real big, just soften it up,
uh-huh.
And you can. And that's big enough to wrap with. See. It's tedious work, but it pays mm-hmm. in the long run if you've got the patience to do it.
She thrives on tedious work.
I can see you've done so much here. You said you've sold almost everything.
I don't have anything except what you see here, and some of this don't belong to me. I borrowed those pieces from my daughter and my daughter-in-law.
So we had them
in order to get them. And the urn and the candlestick holders I've made for Christmas, they've already gone. And it's just, to me, it's amazing because there's never no end to what you can do with it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's just like a crochet hook. You get started on a crochet hook and a piece of yarn and let your imagination run away with you. That's what I call
it. Go anywhere with it.
Just any old place.
This is black and white film in here now. Could I get, just to show you sewing with a needle again, holding a few baskets? The other was color film. I keep calling them baskets. What's your word that you use to describe everything you make? Do you handiwork or your...
Oh, pine needle work is what I call it.
Work?
Mm-hmm. But there are different things. Now this here I'm working on now is a lady's handbag
uh-huh.
in the process of being made. That's a tray, a two-handle tray I call it. That's a bread basket over there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a name for most ever, all of it. This here's a sewing basket. Couldn't tell it, but that's what it is. That's about the first piece I ever made right there.
Huh.
And you can see, tell the difference in it too. See the difference in the...
Oh, yeah.
I didn't split the yarn and or the raffia.
And the color too on that one. That's really...
It's old.
How many of your pieces do you save for yourself?
Well, I have one, two... Four pieces.
And how many do you think you've made in the whole time you've been working?
I couldn't begin to count them all. Handbags is the most, wouldn't you say a handbag would be the?
Trays.
Well, I've made a lot of trays, yeah, but I've made handbags galore. Round handbags.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I first started out, everybody wanted a round handbag.
When did you start making the oval style?
When I made mine.
Uh-huh.
This is one of a kind, and almost everything I make is one of a kind, other than the tray. But I don't think I've ever made two handbags alike. And that's what this one, she wanted an oval handbag like mine, and I told her it wasn't going to be like mine.
Uh-huh.
And the lady that I made a handbag for, I wouldn't put rings in it, it still wasn't like this one.
Uh-huh. Could I get you holding that up on your lap so I can get a good picture of the old handbag?
This is real old.
Oh, that's smart. Good. Let me try it one more time. That's just beautiful. Why do you always make them differently? Is it because you get bored with it and you want to change and make it different? Or
well, you might say that. Even in crochet work, I never made a set of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I don't think I can recall ever making two of anything,
mm-hmm.
as long as I've been crocheting.
Mm-hmm.
Always been one.
Yeah.
And I just don't like, well, I like sets. I've had a lot of them given to me, but I just never made any.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's the same with this. I always want to make something different.
Uh-huh.
and every one of them I put spiders on them. You make a round handbag about this high, about this big around.
Uh-huh.
Some you put plyboard bottoms to, and some you put the regular pine needle bottom to. And the top you decorate with a spider. One woman wanted a spider and a fly.
Uh-huh.
You talk about something unusual. I had my husband making spiders and flies till I got it the way I wanted it, and then I put it on the top with a web, like you have to make kind of
uh-huh.
a web.
Uh-huh.
Then I've put artificial fruit on them, and I mm-hmm. put flowers on them.
And the pine and cones you showed me.
Pine cones. I've used a lot of pine cones
because
they're small, and you can do a whole lot with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the large pine cones I've cut in two and made flower-like with
uh-huh.
the petals.
Uh-huh.
Made flowers for them, but you decorate the top of the bag, and the bottom, the side of the bag, is usually something like this on it.
Yeah, you wouldn't want anything that would stick out too much, I guess, on the side.
Not on a side of it, and the round bags. Most people like a round bag better than they do this here bag. I do. To me, it's more practical because this handle wears out too fast up here where it's you. Hold it together.
Yeah.
So I think if you didn't have this handle, it would be all right. You take and you braid raffia and you put it in here. You take and you make a bottom like this.
Uh-huh.
And then you take and make a wheel like this.
Uh-huh. I see. Just around and around.
And instead of those rings there being in there, between these two, you put the ring like this in there. All the way around the bag. Then you can spider web like this.
In between those.
In between these.
That's nice.
And it turns out real pretty.
That's really nice.
Then you put a flat top to it, or either you put a top that comes down over
mm-hmm.
this just a little bit.
And how did you hinge the top on there, or how did you put the top on it?
Well, there's a number of ways you can put it on. You can put it on with leather, but I don't particularly like that because I like to keep it all natural with the raffia and the pine needles.
Yeah.
So you just take a piece of real small round elastic
mm-hmm.
and crochet over top of it with the raffia.
Oh.
Or either you make little tiny braids out of the raffia and sew them on there to...
Like little loops.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah.
There's a number of different ways. And then you can cover the drink tabs, or you can cover a ring.
And use it that way.
And use it that way. There's a whole lot of ways you can use it. And a whole lot of things that you can use with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic rings you can use. These are all plastic coffee curtain rings. You can use wire. The hot plates that's wired you find in the dime store.
Yeah.
You can take them and go around in those. I've done that before. And you can make hats. I know of ladies making hats and wearing them.
Uh-huh.
And making a bag to match.
Uh-huh. And have you ever made any hats?
No, I've never made a hat. I don't particularly like hats. I don't wear them.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I know a lot of ladies that do wear them.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter's going to bring me a book that her mother-in-law has. I'm going to read through that. And there might be something different in there. I've made so many trays and so many pocketbooks, I'm getting to the point I don't want to make them anymore.
Yeah.
That's why I made the urn.
And the
something
lamp
different, you know, base. Making that lamp base.
And going to something new.
And it's real nice.
That's really
unusual. I get I moved it that time. But this is going to come way on out here.
Now, will that globe part be out of the pine needles also?
This will.
Uh-huh.
This will come on up here like this.
Uh-huh.
And then the lamp will come on up through it
with
some kind of a... My sticks, I guess you see, laying all over the place. I'm going to put some kind of a stick up through there.
Yeah.
To hide the pipe.
Yeah.
Then the I'm going to try something new. I'm not going to make it round. I'm going to make it oblong.
Oh.
You've seen the stained glass?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try something like that in it. And I've got a lot of patterns that I could work where the lampshade will start here and come down in sections.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going round and around.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a lot of shades that went round and around. But I want it to stand up about this high, I guess, whenever it's finished with the shade and all.
Now, are you making that for yourself?
This is going to be mine, yes.
Uh-huh.
If I ever get through with it, it'll be mine. And I want the tabletop is going to be mine. But I've had it.
Over at the young Ken Lizzie, they did on the aqua shack. And she mounted rattlesnake skins for him, too.
Ooh.
And like I say, there's no end to what she does. She used to mount like that gator.
What's
this thing?
She mounted
I
that gator.
Quite a while to do this.
This
is the only thing I have left out of that.
1954, probably.
Before we came here, I did all this. This here, I guess I would rather do something like this than anything
she
I know.
She mounted a big bobcat.
Huh. How did you learn to do that now?
I studied for this.
Taxidermy,
I went to.
She studied for a while.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go to school, but I went to school at home. I mean, I'd send photographs off. You'd do something, you know.
Yeah.
They'd send you a lesson, and you'd do it, and then you'd photograph it, and you'd send it back to
Northwestern Taxidermy.
Uh-huh.
And when I moved here, I just quit all that kind of stuff because there's so much here to do. In the city, you don't have things to do like you do here.
Yeah.
So you're kind of limited, you know, and you stay inside and you do a lot of this kind of stuff. And I tool leather. I was going to tell you a while ago, I have about give leather work up, though. I let him do that. He's good at that.
Uh-huh.
And I got a lot of patterns from the leather craft.
Yeah.
That I'm going to try. One of these days in this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
See if I can't combine some of it.
That's incredible. You're busy all the time, it looks like you're doing something.
Well, I knit, I crochet.
Uh-huh.
And as I say, I've dropped the leather craft and I've dropped the taxidermist. Because here I just don't have the facilities for that kind of stuff. And I've had my little ones too.
Yeah.
And I'd rather take care of them than do all that anyway.
Do they stay with you? Or?
Mm-hmm. Her mommy works, so I keep her.
Uh-huh.
And the oldest one will be in from school pretty soon.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anything else that you can think of to tell me that I didn't ask about how you do this? That I didn't ask, or maybe I don't know enough about it?
No, I don't think so. From start to finish, there's a lot of work in it. There's a lot of work involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look it. But you go out and you pick up the pine needles one at a time, and you have to clean them one at a time. And if they need washing, then you have to wash them. If they fall on the grass, I don't wash them. But if they're in the dirt, then you've got to wash them because they're dirty. And all that has to be done one at a time.
Uh-huh.
And then.
That's beautiful. Oh, I see. When did you make this, the leather bag?
Oh, long, long time ago.
That's real nice.
62.
About 60, about that.
That's beautiful. That's a real nice design. So you were saying everything has to be done one at a time.
Everything has to be done one at a time. And your rings, there's just no way you can hurry to any of it. Because if you do, you're going to really botch up the job.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to take your time. And the rings... These rings in this pocketbook here are spiderwebbed.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's called the spiderweb.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones are called the rosettes.
Mm-hmm.
You just make a little thing right in the middle of it.
This kind on the wheels of the wagon is like a rosette.
That's a rosette.
Yeah.
And you can take a piece of wire and you can shape it in any shape you want it, and you can buttonhole the raffia around it.
Around that shape that you made with
the
wire.
And then you can dampen your pine needles and make them in any shape you want them.
Uh-huh. Do you know any other women in this area that are making pine needles?
Not now, I don't.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if the one lady makes dolls, and she's made dolls for a long time. And she took lessons making pine needles, and she made one real pretty basket, and I was real proud of her. And then the other lady.
This was the lady that was in your class that you mentioned.
One of the ladies in the class. And she's in this book here, too. There's three ladies in that book besides myself. It's the only ones that I know. One of them's in Orlando, I think. One of them's in Gainesville. But that's the only ones I know of. And I don't really know them. I just know because the names is in that book.
Is the lady that you taught in that book the one that just made the one basket?
No. Oh, yes, she is in that book, but it's not for basket, it's for dolls.
I see.
See,
What's her name?
She makes dolls. She doesn't make, she just wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. Delphine Walker. She lives in Live Oak now. This is her name here.
Delphine Walter. Uh-huh.
And she made one basket and it was real pretty.
Uh-huh.
And then the other girl, there was a preacher's wife that made several baskets. Would you like some coffee or some tea?
Nothing, thank you, unless you want something.
She's the only one. I don't know where the preacher's wife went, but Mary probably would know because that was their preacher, you know, whenever I was giving lessons there. And they moved somewhere, and I don't know where.
Where was it that you gave lessons? Was that through the craft skill?
At Mary's.
At White Springs.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. White Springs.
Uh-huh.
This was just last year, wasn't it? Or was it year before last? Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize it was up there.
Yeah.
Year before last. And then you gave twice, didn't you?
Yeah. It's a long time ago I gave at a hunting lodge in White Springs.
Right.
Out there when they were using that. They were quilting then. And we went out there and I gave out there. But nobody made anything out there.
Yeah.
They just wasn't interested
yeah.
or something. I mean, they were interested, but...
Well, I can see it, too, for myself. I'd really like to learn, but I just don't think I would have the patience to make something as
That's elaborate. What everybody says. They they want to learn until they get involved in it.
Yeah.
Find a longleaf pine. You know, we have some trees here that has five needles on one.
She was saying,
I showed her one a while ago.
And break those off and clean them.
But had five, this one right
they
here.
They don't want to go pick up the pine needles and clean them.
Yeah.
I took
them. It's really a shame, too, because so many things like this are just dying out.
See, there's a difference in length.
If it's grown in Florida, it can be just made into something like the man that makes his paramedic hats up there.
Uh-huh, and the fans and different things.
Fans, and he makes the cap. He'll just weave a cap for you right quick.
That's what really interests me, is that it uses materials that are local and they're easy to get and that you don't find all over the place.
The actual cost to this. Is
the rings.
How much does the raffia cost you?
It was $1 a hank. They call that a hank.
That whole big bunch there is a hank?
Comes braided.
A long time ago.
To keep it from.
Yeah, but.
Then you got to unbraid it and shake it out and let it hang.
Yeah.
And the dampness, if you'll take and hang it up, I hang it up outside there, and the dampness straightens it right out.
I see.
At nighttime.
Uh-huh.
And. Now, I don't know what it would be. It would probably be rather expensive now, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And in the craft shops, you can't buy it that way. You have to buy it in little hanks, this rolled up things about like this.
Yeah, real small little bundle of it.
I believe in a place in Tampa, they sell it. And it's in small, but she gets her father to get it in Lima, Ilea. We used to get it at the Rattan shop in Lake Worth. Well, it actually was in the land town for it.
Uh-huh.
But we'd buy big hanks like this for $1.
For a dollar, that doesn't seem too bad.
No, back then it wasn't.
They tied
but it wouldn't be that now.
No.
They used it so strong, they tied that furniture together. Mm-hmm.
Because I used one whole hank. I had two hanks of it. And the last hank, it was $2. Hmm. The last hank I got. Mm-hmm. And I used a whole hank in the lessons up there because you couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. And just about the time we quit, you know, the lessons run out, well, Mary found a place to get it, and it was rather expensive, and it wasn't a hank either.
Yeah. Did Mary ever make a basket?
No, I'm supposed to be making one for her too. I haven't got around to it, a tray. She wants it for show there at the place. Yeah, I showed her your one and only.
Yeah.
I split my stitches.
Yeah, he splits his stitches.
How come
like
you
a chain.
Didn't keep on doing it?
In the winter months. Yeah. When we're sitting around and nothing to do, I'll do that and I've got a crochet rug I started. Uh huh. She crochets a while, she knits a while, she pines a while.
I do.
And then she goes from one thing to the other.
Yeah.
My daughter starts macrame, so now I think she's getting the hang of that. She makes all those things there, my daughter.
Oh, the plant hangers and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That and big wide macrame.
Like hangings Have you ever heard talk about people in the old days in Florida that used to do pine needle work?
No.
I know there were people around, but
there was people around because these papers I've got here.
They came out of Indian mounds.
Uh-huh. This one did came out of an Indian mound. Mm-hmm. Right here it tells how she got this. I read it.
She stole it out of the archives of history.
Yeah.
Huh. She got it,
but that's how they made it back then.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the lady that her name is in this book here, she learned from a craft place. This lady here learned 20 years ago, a native Florida craft.
Uh-huh.
Learned from a home demonstration center. And that lady lives in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
And this one lives in Gainesville. Learned when she was in elementary school. Yeah. She's 59 years old now.
Uh-huh.
And she picked it up again. See, she dropped it and picked it up again. And then the other lady, she has honeysuckle and pine needle baskets. Learned from her mother in 1917, and she's now 76 years old.
I have to go. I haven't been down.
Now that woman lives in Jasper.
Yeah, well, that's not far away.
That's not far away from here.
I should go and talk to her.
You should go and talk to her, right? Because my daughter just told me she's gone in to stay at her mother-in-law's house, and she said she's got a book on honeysuckle baskets and pine needle baskets. So she said she'd bring it to me and let me look at it. Now this lady here could probably give you a lot more than I can.
I should really go up and talk to her.
The way back of it, because she's 76 years old. She learned in 1917,
mm-hmm.
and she lives in Jasper. Her everything's here.
Uh-huh.
Dolores Walker, Aunt Dolly, I call her. Route 1, Box 95, Jasper.
Yeah, sure.
Her phone number's here and everything.
Yeah, I have a copy of that. I just missed her for some reason.
And that's the only people in this book,
isn't it,
other than myself that does it.
In the whole big state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there might be others.
I imagine there are others, because my sister-in-law does it too.
Uh-huh.
But she's don't belong to a guild or anything like that.
Well, you should.
She makes some beautiful things.
What's your sister-in-law's name? I should get her. I'll have Peggy Bolger, who I mentioned, put this directory together. And I'm working with her up there, and she can send your sister-in-law a form to fill out, so she'll be in the new one.
She doesn't do it, though.
She stopped?
She's doing it.
She can't get raffia or anything like that.
No.
Let's see. When you do something like this, mm-hmm. when you see what you've done, and it's, as I say, I draw a lot of my own patterns.
I'm glad you found it.
And that's about it.
Yeah. Did you ever try weaving anything else instead of pine needles? Did you ever try using grass or
anything like that?
No. It was a colored lady that came only once, one time. When she comes, she'd only be there one day to give lessons on the it looks like straw. They call it wiregrass.
Yeah, I've seen
it. And it's in big rolls like this, and you put it together with a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never able to get up there the day she came.
Yeah, because it seems like that's similar to what the kind of work that you do. It's not as elaborate.
Well, it's something like what I do.
Uh-huh.
But you had to use the spoon to put that around. Then I could not understand how Mary was telling me to do it.
Yeah, that doesn't...
And when the lady comes, she could only come one day at a time.
I've never seen actually anybody making them. I've only seen them after they're finished.
That's me. I've seen them after they're finished.
You made one, a huge basket. You started with a big barrel.
No.
You remember the tall wiregrass in Palm Beach?
Mm-hmm.
You started one with that.
Well, that's what they use, only they use a piece of strip and this wide.
The lady that runs the old country store, called Aunt Grace's. What is her name?
Langdale, Grace Langdale.
Uh-huh.
Grace Langdale.
She runs a country store there.
She's looking for some of that tall wiregrass.
Did she make the basket?